Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I am Kate Elizabeth Spencer.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk about serums.
And we are here doing another mini episode where we answer your questions and comments. We play your feedback.
Listen to voicemails.
There's a lot that happens.
Read your emails.
And you can leave us voicemails at 781-591-0390, or you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And we wanted to start today by talking about one of our fave topics that we discussed on a previous full episode.
Yep.
And that is perfectionism. And I think at some point in the episode, I had said something like, how do people in really intense jobs do it? And a magical thing happened, which was people with intense jobs wrote in.
Yes. Bless you, people with intense jobs.
Thank you. One, thank you for the work you do. And thank you also for listening to the podcast and reaching out to us. So we wanted to read a couple or a few of these emails, which offered wonderful advice. And we've condensed them because they were long. So I'm sorry we can't read your full email, but we only have a mini episode time frame here. So the first message we got is from a child psychotherapist who works with high risk teens. And they wrote this: here is my daily ritual when I finish work each day. I do it so that I don't take my worry about the young people I see home after work and can then focus on my own family. So every day when I leave work, I take a 20-minute walk listening to music. And during that time, I tell myself, my day is over, I can let it go. And I add, and someone may die today and I can accept that.
Whoa.
That's it. Now they said this: I know it sounds mad, but that's how I have learned to deal with the omnipotence that can plague all of us, particularly in this line of work, only by sincerely and entirely accepting the possibility of mistakes and one's limited capacity to, quote, save people or to control things. Can this sort of work be done? And I think that's a good life lesson more generally.
Whew.
Holy crap.
I love the 20-minute walk after work.
I mean, I also love that they just have a mantra too, where they say like, this part of my day is done and I can let it, because letting it go
letting
is
it
such
go
a hard part.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Thank you, child psychotherapist.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Thank you so much for weighing in. All right. We had another message, Dori.
We did.
From a social worker who has worked in the field of foster care and adoption for 15 years. My career has spanned case management, foster home licensing, child placement for adoption, and most recently developing statewide programs supporting youth aging out of foster care. All that to say, there were some high stakes, and yes, I made mistakes and failed, and at times it was heartbreaking. However, I also developed a positive value around failure. Now I consider failure an expected part of my work and life, and I approach it with a belief in allowing myself to fail safely. By failing safely, I mean four things. When you fail, one, acknowledge it. Two, reflect on what happened and why, but do not get stuck here. Three, refine. Figure out how you would do it differently next time. Four, try again. I have had the opportunity to employ and mentor young social workers, and this is the first thing I teach them. And we create a space together where failures are openly discussed, which normalizes the experience. I'm not saying that failure doesn't suck. It really can. I'm just saying that experience of failure does not have to keep us from fully engaging in work, life, and relationships.
I love this.
What great concrete advice. And failing safely.
Failing safely. I know we've talked about this before, but I really feel like as a society, we could do a better job teaching people how to fail. I think it is something that needs to be taught.
I mean, Dora, you're saying this on the heels of a college scandal where parents paid their children's way into schools and didn't tell their kids because they didn't want their kids to fail. I mean, look, we could unpack the numerous layers of problematicness with that whole situation, yeah. But you're right. Like, failing is so, so crucial.
It's so crucial. And like, it's so hard to know how to do it. And it affects it. It has such long-term effects.
My daughter, my oldest daughter, just learned to ride a bike yesterday, mm-hmm. and her joy was incredible and so palpable. But this, she's 8, and she's been practicing for a long time, and it took years of failing. I mean, just watching her again and again, you know, coasting around on her bike without the pedals on, trying to get her balance. I mean, it just takes years, and yeah. We all need to. I think implementing that in the larger scheme of our adult lives is really important.
Yeah. And I think especially with something like perfectionism, it really helps you work on that.
Yeah. Because also, great things come from failing.
Yes.
Anyway.
Oh, we've solved it.
We've solved it. Well, check. Dory, do you want to read this last email we got?
Yes, I do. This is from a surgeon.
I mean.
Listen, I'm just impressed that we have such amazing listeners. I mean, all of our listeners are amazing, but a surgeon? Who knew?
Who knew? And yeah. I think in the original conversation, I had said something like, what if you're a surgeon? Mm-hmm. And this person wrote, well, I am a surgeon. It was very delightful. Anyway, thank you, surgeon.
All right. Not only do I make mistakes like every other human, but I'm also responsible for a whole team of humans who make mistakes. Obviously, there are systems we use to prevent errors and correct them when they happen. And luckily, most are insignificant and occur rarely. However, mistakes do happen, and when they happen, they have the potential for lifelong consequences for another person. So I've had to learn to live with this anxiety. What works for me is to remind myself that I'm truly doing the best I can, and that my intention is to help because I am and it is. Then I take a deep breath and deal with the problem. Also, yoga.
Also yoga.
Also yoga. This all of this like really puts things in perspective, I think.
Yeah, I really value reading these messages from people.
Well, I guess we now know how to deal with perfectionism.
Yeah, we are never going to struggle with it again.
Nope. I love to fail.
Can you imagine if there is a person out there who doesn't grapple with it? Like who just is at peace?
Oh, I think those people exist.
Really?
Yes.
Well, good for them. I mean, kudos. I wonder what that feels like. That to me is like reaching, like, what's the word?
When like Nirvana?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Like, that would be the place.
Yeah. Well, true bliss.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever get there.
Well, we're going to change subjects quickly and listen to a voicemail.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Anne. I was calling in response to the question on the mini app about the woman whose sister was moving to Switzerland. I was the moving away sister about 5 years ago. And I just wanted to say one thing that my sister did that was really special was she made me a big envelope full of smaller envelopes of things to open every month. And they were just like poems that she liked or things, jokes that she and I found in common or pictures sometimes, or she had kids and one or two of them were things from her kids. And it definitely gave me something to look forward to. And it gave us a nice spot of connection. She always does stuff like that. She's just a really thoughtful sister. But the other thing I wanted to say that she did that was great was that she didn't make me feel bad about moving away. I was super sad about leaving her behind and just she never made me feel guilty and she never made me feel pressured to make super big memories with her before I left. I don't know what I would have done if I felt guilty talking to her about all my concerns because she's the person that I talk to about everything. So just wanted to offer that perspective. Thanks. Love the podcast. Bye.
I love everything about this.
Don't you love every tidbit in this voicemail? Yes. Let's
like
break it down.
Advent calendar of love.
That envelope with just the little things that you could then go in and pull one out, like especially if you're having a hard day, because moving abroad comes with its own set of challenges. I just thought that was such a thoughtful gesture that I've never thought about doing something like that for somebody.
Totally.
Like, that would make a great birthday gift or present for some sort of holiday.
Yeah.
So number one, what a great sister you have. Two, I loved the point of not putting pressure.
Mm-hmm. Not making you feel guilty.
Yeah, because that would just add to the stress that mm-hmm. you might already be feeling making the move.
Yeah.
Such great advice.
It sounds like you have a great relationship with your sister.
You know, I look at my two daughters and I'm like, what? I hope you have a positive adult relationship someday.
Yeah.
Because they like each other now, but I don't know. That stuff gets hard.
It does get hard.
And you are a good sister role model with your sister.
We weren't close as kids.
But as adults, you're...
But as adults, we are.
Thick as thieves.
I mean, I'm 7 years older, so I was so much older.
I know, right? She was like in elementary school when you were in high school, almost middle school.
She was in, she was still in elementary school when I left for college.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is a huge age gap. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
Sisters.
Sisters. All right. We're going to take a short break.
I am the first to admit that gift giving is not easy for everyone. It's taken me a long time to become like a halfway decent gift giver. But what I have learned is that the best way to win the gift giving game is to gift memories.
Ooh. Yes.
And you know how you do that, Kate?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
The Aura digital frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
We have gifted this to many people.
And when you gift this, your family will love looking back on childhood memories and seeing what you're up to today. Even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating the frame with new photos. So it's really the gift that keeps on giving. It's super easy to set up. It takes literally 2 minutes. You download the app, you set up the Wi-Fi.
Boom.
You're good to go.
Yep.
We have given this to my parents. We've given this to Matt's parents. Mm-hmm.
Same.
It's so easy because you can add photos from the app like anytime you want. And also like my brother has the app so he can add photos from his family. My sister has the app so she can add photos. My parents also have it. So they also add their own photos.
That is one of the coolest parts, I think, of the Aura Frame is that everybody can contribute.
Yes.
I love that about we have two Aura frames in our house. I have one in my office and one in our family room. And
do
my kids
have,
love
do
it.
Do they have the same pictures on them?
No, they have different pictures.
That's interesting. Maybe I should get one from my office.
I'm looking at a picture of my children right now.
Right. Interesting. Putting that away for later.
Store that.
Yes. The Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which is what many other digital frames require. And also, then you're not taking up your email storage. So win-win. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Forever 35 listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code Forever35 at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, look, I don't know about you, but when I hold on to some negative feelings, it really starts to impact my day to day. I get a little snippy and short with the people in my life. Things start to really feel overwhelming. And look, it's just generally not great for me or for the people that I am interacting with. And I do find that my time in therapy is a real safe space to get those things off my chest and figure out how to work on and work through things that are weighing on me or maybe weighing on you. For example, like I have actually really been working on mindfulness in therapy.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Easier said than done, but that's the work, right? Like just learning about kind of like really creating a breathing practice and paying attention to my physical body and my feelings. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and to learn productive coping skills. If you're thinking about trying therapy, try BetterHelp. It's convenient and accessible anywhere because it is 100% online. All it takes to get started is filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you're not vibing with the therapist, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Forever35 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Forever35. You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click Get Started, and then use our code FOREVER35 at sign up, and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones, but I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough, enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college? When I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress.
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
So, Dory, we received a very interesting question from a listener that I thought we both might enjoy weighing in on.
Yes.
So here's what they asked. I was listening to one of your episodes, and Kate pointed out that while pregnant and riding the subway, only other women offered her their seat. I brought this up in conversation with my husband, and his response was surprising and left me wondering. He said, I'm a bit torn on what I would do in that situation. On one hand, it seems like the polite thing to do, knowing that pregnancy can lead to sore backs and swelling feet and other issues that might make sitting better. On the other, I know the sexist roots of chivalry and wouldn't want to imply that pregnancy is some sort of disability or that the pregnant woman needs to be catered to. I'd be worried that if I got up for her and not for the man beside her, that might imply sexist opinions or make her uncomfortable. This is something I wouldn't think twice about as a woman, but I recognize that this situation could lead a man to be confused about what's polite, what's implied weakness, and where the line between them is. What are your thoughts?
I think this is... Like, I started laughing as you were reading this because I feel like this man is really doing some mental gymnastics here.
Overthinking it.
Like, he admits that when you're pregnant, you often have a sore back and swelling feet. He knows that the pregnant person is probably uncomfortable. It's not like... I don't think it's a sexist thing to offer them a seat when you know someone is uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think like good manners,
yes,
don't need to be rooted in chivalry.
Also, women can give up a seat too.
Yes, anyone can give up a seat. Yes.
And the pregnant person can turn it down.
Well, this is the most empowering thing, I think. And this happened to me once on the subway. There was a woman who was very pregnant and I kept offering my seat and she was fine standing.
Yeah.
And it took me getting pregnant to be like, oh, she just wanted to stand. She just felt wanted best to for stand. Her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can say no to you.
Totally.
I'll offer. The thing is, there's no harm in offering any individual
totally
a seat on the subway. It's a kind thing to do for anyone.
Yeah.
If you see someone, just ask. Doesn't even need to be a reason.
No, you don't have to say like, hey, person who is pregnant.
Are you 37 and a half weeks pregnant? Have my seat. Yeah, just offer a seat.
Just offer the seat.
Yeah.
It's not more complicated.
My dad has like good manners to the point where it's annoying. He holds the door for everybody. I mean, and it's not, he doesn't do it for one gender identity or the other. He's everybody. And he offers every freaking buddy his seat on the subway. But if someone wants it, they'll take it and they'll appreciate it. So tell your husband to offer that freaking seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give it up, husband. All right. Dory, you want to take this next email?
I would love to. Doing strength training at a co-ed gym is an essential part of my self-care, and I lift weights 3 to 4 times a week. At least once a month, men will approach me in the gym, despite my wearing big noise-canceling headphones, to offer unsolicited advice on my workout. It is absolutely infuriating because I work with a trainer, have been training for years, and I know what I'm doing. Yet every time this happens, I don't know what to do except grit my teeth, say thanks, and hope that these men fuck off. This last weekend, a dude wearing a weight belt came over to offer his views on my deadlift without my asking for his advice in the slightest, then proceeded to do 12 reps on my bar just to make sure. I ended up snapping at him, I'm quite capable, thanks. I don't want to invite an aggressive response from these men by calling out the mansplaining. Do you have any advice on how to shut down these well-meaning gym goers? One solution would be to go to a women-only gym, but I live in a tiny town and this just isn't an option.
Okay.
Wow.
Look, first of all, listener, I want you to reframe the way you are talking about yourself. You said that you snapped at this guy when really you just said, I'm quite capable, thanks, which is a totally appropriate response. And second, you called these people well-meaning. I don't think they're well-meaning. You're being too nice to these fuckers and not giving yourself permission to gently say, fuck off. Am I overreacting, Dory?
I don't think I would say fuck off.
No. I'm not saying that either. I think you did the right. I'm saying I'm quite capable, thanks, I think is an appropriate response.
Yeah.
You are being gym-splained.
Yeah.
And you clearly don't need to. So I think the second someone comes over to open their mouth, that you could say, actually, I work out with a trainer. I don't need your advice. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. I don't need your assistance.
Yeah. And I wouldn't sit there and nod and listen and be polite.
Yeah, I wouldn't let him do 12 reps on your bar.
No, that is, I mean, look, I also understand that you don't, I understand that the urge not to invite an aggressive response because oftentimes, because of the fucked up nature of our patriarchal society, you cannot stand up for yourself in a totally appropriate manner without getting, without someone behaving in a way that's aggressive, which is, which then puts you in danger. So I understand that. And I'm not trying to suggest that you need to like walk around with your middle finger up and make it an unsafe environment for yourself. And it's them who's making it not safe. I'm rambling, but I'm pissed off. But I do think like we could come up, or you can come up with a canned response that the second you're approached, you give it to them, that puts you in a space where you don't have to keep talking to them. You feel safe and cool and you can go on with your workout.
I have another idea.
Yeah, story.
Get yourself a t-shirt made that says, "I don't need your help with my weightlifting. Thanks."
I love that idea. Do you think that they would be comfortable wearing that in this gym?
I don't know. But like...
Or a t-shirt that says, "I've been doing this longer than you."
Oh, yeah, that's good too.
Oh, God. I
with like a barbell? So they know what they're referring to.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, I've been in your situation. You're doing all the right things. You're wearing the noise. Like you are sending the signal. And unfortunately, it's not being received.
No.
So I'm sorry that you're in this position.
Very annoying that it's on you now.
Of course. That's the worst part.
So annoying.
It's so annoying. And it's so unfair that this is the scheme of things. But Dory, can we role play for a second?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you be lifting weights.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, I've noticed that you're doing reps. I just wanted to let you know that...
Thanks. I'm good.
Oh, no, you don't understand. I work out here. No, I'm good. Dory's walking... Dory's turned her back. That's a great move too, Dory. The physical turning of the back.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I will say, as we were role-playing here, I didn't know what to do when you turned away from me. I mumbled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, we didn't just solve this, but that was a fun exercise.
Yeah, just cut them off at the pass.
You really cut me off, and I felt like I couldn't keep going.
Well, let's hope that a man would also feel the same way.
God, I hope so. I think, listener, it's also takes practice because it can be very uncomfortable when we are trained to be polite and not to upset people or be quote-unquote offensive or quote-unquote mean. It can be very hard to put this stuff into practice. So just... Yep. Give it a go, and the more you do it, the easier it will get. And you sound cool. I'm glad that you've identified weights as your self-care.
Totally.
All right, Dory. That was really fun. We should do more role-playing on the podcast.
Anytime.
If anyone wants to give us any scenarios to act out, we're here for...
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For you. All right, we've got one final voicemail.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Kim calling from Columbia, South Carolina. And I wanted to give you guys a little wrinkle dingle because I have a very important question that I imagine is of interest to your other beloved listeners. And that is, what is the plan for Dory's maternity leave? Dory, I cannot believe you are already 33, or maybe it's 34 weeks pregnant. Congratulations. So happy for you. Other people's pregnancies just fly by for me. And I didn't realize we were here already. So what's the plan? Have you been recording extra episodes? Are you going to... God forbid, take a hiatus. This is of particular urgency for me because
I just returned to work from maternity leave, and my dearest, dearest friend, soulmate, colleague, Elizabeth, just left for maternity leave. So we're halfway through 6 months without each other. And I gotta be honest, the thought of being without her, she actually introduced me to the pod. Without her and without you guys is too much for one woman to bear. So I would love it if you would let me and everybody else know what to expect so that we can start mentally preparing as appropriate. I love you guys. I love the podcast. It makes me really, really happy. I cannot overstate the extent to which I look forward to hearing from you every week. Love you. Love the pod. Bye.
Well,
love you.
I mean, I'm tearing up.
That was so nice.
What a sweet message.
Thank you so much. What's the plan, Dory? What is the plan?
What is the plan?
You know, it's
no,
funny.
Just kidding. No, we talked about the plan.
We do it. It is funny, though. Like, I've always had this dream of, like, if I ran my own company, like, what amazing family leave plan would I put into place for new parents? And now we kind of run our own company where we're...
Yeah, it's hard, though, because we do a podcast that is us. Like, it's not like... Like, if Lane needed to go on maternity leave...
Lane, we're going to be so rad about maternity
leave. We would give
leave.
Her maternity leave and we would figure it out.
We would.
But with us, it's a little trickier because it is our voices on the show.
So I think one thing that we're keeping in mind, and I'm only going to speak as your partner in the podcasting realm of this journey, is that who knows how this is going to go?
Totally.
Who knows what your needs are going to be and what you're going to feel like doing? So on that, we have kind of a tentative plan in place.
Yeah. So one thing that I do want to say, which we have not said yet publicly, is that we are going to be skipping 3 mini episodes.
We'll be back with more.
We will be back with more, but we are skipping a few episodes in May. I believe the first 3 weeks of May, there will be no mini episodes. There will still be full-length episodes, but there will not be mini episodes. So just want to make, we'll remind everyone as it gets closer, but yeah. So May 6th, May 13th, and May 20th, no mini episodes.
No mini apps.
So that's one thing. The other thing we've been doing is we have been, I would say, frantically banking interviews.
We have done so many interviews.
We have done a lot of interviews. I think we have interviews that we've already recorded enough to schedule through like mid-May.
And we have more coming up.
And we have more coming. And so by the time, hopefully, I have this baby, we'll be scheduled with interviews through at least the end of June. So that's another thing. Like the interviews are, those are time consuming.
Yes.
For many reasons.
Yep.
They take a long time to schedule. We have to research. We have to come up with questions. We have to actually do the interviews. Mm-hmm. We do them on separate days. Then we record the rest of the podcast. So it's a big commitment. And so just to sort of take those off the plate while I am tending to the bebé, is like another thing that we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, for example, we're recording this mini episode. And then this week we have 3 additional interviews that we're recording. Yeah. Just, you know, today is a Tuesday. So in the next 3 days, we're doing 3 interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that we actually just started talking about is lining up a few potential guest hosts for potentially a couple of episodes. This is sort of in the realm of let's see how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Which I think like you can never know. Having only given birth twice, my first birth was a fucking shit show that knocked me on my ass. And the second one was pretty smooth.
Right.
So it's like, who the fuck knows?
And I might be craving human interaction.
You might want a microphone in your hand.
And a baby on my boob.
I cannot wait. I truly... cannot wait for a baby to be at this recording session.
Oh, he will be.
I'm so excited. But yeah, so it's going to require communication, but yeah. I've just started checking in with a couple people about possibly jumping in as guest hosts
yeah.
who will chat with me about things. Maybe they'll do intentions with me. We'll Great. Find out. We could do product chats.
Sure.
There's a whole host of things we could do with guest hosts.
The other thing, another thing, Kate has very kindly offered to come to me during this period.
I mean, the other option would be you bringing a newborn to me. That's crazy.
Yeah, that probably won't happen.
No.
And the other thing is, like, I am going to be removing myself from all sort of podcast correspondence.
Good luck, me.
So that will be on Kate and Lane.
Lane, good luck to us. Farewell, Dory, from the email account.
Yeah. So I think that will also help me just be able to focus on the baby.
What do you think your time frame is for that? A month, 2 months, 4 months?
I'm thinking like 2 years.
I mean, fine. It sounds like a very delicious email maternity.
You know, again, given my personality, I can't see myself like wanting to be out of the loop that much. I know this comes as a shock.
What, you?
So I don't think it will be for that long, but I think like 4 to 6 weeks is reasonable.
Totally. I mean, we're here to support you. And Thank also, you. I do think it's a lot of like, if this doesn't work, let's adjust. Let's figure something totally. Else out. You know, like, we are very privileged that this is a very flexible thing that we get to do. So yes. I think we will make it work.
Yeah. But thank you for asking.
Yeah. Dory's not going anywhere.
Oh, I am not.
But I do think it's great to have some time away.
Mm-hmm.
So. Hmm. But yeah. I can't wait to come over and podcast with you and a small child.
It's going
to
be great.
I can't wait. He can cry in the background. He could read the emails.
He'll be in his pack and play.
I'm so looking forward to meeting this baby.
This hairy baby.
I hope he's, I mean, if you know, he's hairy, not hairy, he's perfect.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. Okay. Boy. Sorry. I started to get a little whimpery there.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah. Thank you for listening and your questions and your comments. And we're always here. So call, email. We're standing by.
All right. Bye.